In our message, as we dive in, we're talking about living out of who you are. And this is one of those series where I desperately want you to just lean in. I want so much for you to just let the message that we're talking about sink into your soul, because I believe it is a transformational concept, truth that we are talking about. You and I, our soul thrives when we live out of who we are. So when you come to Jesus Christ, you are made into a new creation. You're born again. He makes you a new creation. That means you are rewired when you come to faith in Christ. You literally begin to derive in your soul that which causes joy and just causes your soul to thrive from a different stimulus, from a different input than before. You are fundamentally different after you come to faith in Christ versus before you come to faith in Christ. And when you live out of who you are, your soul thrives. You're like a fish in the water. But when you don't live out of who you are still a child of God through faith in Jesus. You are still heaven bound, but your soul does not thrive. Your soul asphyxiates, just like a fish flopping around on the bank. So we've been asking the question, who are you? Who am I in Jesus Christ? And we got to know who we are if we're going to live out of who we are. And we use the 5 G's, which, by the way, vision, Brian, when he first came here, that just people with vision have an ability to see the things that have not been seen and see where we need to go. And that's one of the very first things that he jumped on and helped us to formulate, is this picture of who we are. And we use 5 G's to talk about it. And who you are and who I am is a person who is just designed to be marked by grace. Yes, we're designed to be saved by grace, but then we're designed to live by grace. You remember in the first message in this series, I talked about with you how we're not only just designed to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but we live by it. And living by it, you know when you're living by grace, because you wake up in the morning and you're not saying, Lord, how am I doing? You wake up in the morning and you say, God, how could you be so good to me that you love me? You've chosen me. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I inherit all of heaven along with you. Jesus, how could you be so good to me? To do all of that by grace, not by effort, not by me earning it. You've just given it to me freely. That's who you are. You're a person who's marked by grace. And your soul thrives when you live by grace. But you're also a person who's just marked by a need for the gathering. And that's why your soul thrives when you gather together. That's why your soul thrives when you see people getting baptized. And wasn't that exciting to see people coming to faith in Jesus and proclaiming their faith publicly? And that's why your soul thrives when you worship God together. Yeah, you can worship God on your own. You can worship God in your car. But God also wants you to worship as a part of a gathering. Your soul thrives when you listen to a message, and when God speaks to you through that message, your soul thrives when you gather in groups and you care for one another. Your soul thrives through the gathering. Your soul just says, I was made for this. I need this. This causes my soul to come alive. And today we're going to talk about growing, because your soul was created, rewired to grow in the ways of Jesus. And when you are growing in the ways of Jesus, your soul is like a fish in water, and it just breathes and thrives. But when you're not growing in the ways of Jesus, your soul begins to asphyxiate. So let's just talk about growing. Have you ever heard the phrase, healthy things grow? I want to make sure you hadn't gone to sleep on me. So show of hands, have you ever heard the phrase, healthy things grow? It's true, right? I mean, a new baby is born. You don't want the new baby to stay a new baby all of the new baby's life, right? You want the new baby to do what? Say it with me. Grow. A farmer plants a crop, and that farmer wants that crop to grow. A teacher teaches a student, and the teacher wants that student's knowledge to grow. But it's not just students who need to grow in knowledge. I mean, you and I as adults, we really need to grow in knowledge. I mean, we're designed to grow. Healthy things grow. We're designed to be lifelong learners. You ever run into somebody who hadn't read a book in 15 years? Somebody who just watches television, watches the same old stuff. You run into them, maybe you hadn't talked to them in 5 years, and you start talking to them, and they're still talking about the same stuff they were talking about 5 years ago, and you are bored with the conversation in 60 seconds because they haven't learned anything new. They haven't tried. They haven't experienced anything new, and they're just not growing, and so they're just not very engaging. You and I were designed to grow in knowledge. But you know what? It's not just babies and students and adults who grow. Here's the reality. It's baked into all of life. Healthy things grow. In Christ, you are a new creation, and you are designed to grow in the ways of Jesus. You are designed, your soul thrives when you are being formed more and more in the ways of Jesus. And I'm not just talking about growing in knowledge of Jesus, and that's really, really important. But there's a passage of scripture that says knowledge puffs up. Did you know the Pharisees had all kinds of knowledge? I mean, they had the Old Testament memorized. Raise your hand if you've gotten the Old Testament fully memorized now. And I'm not raising, I'm just showing you what to do. Okay, they had could we all agree they had a great deal of knowledge about God, but that knowledge puffed them up. It didn't form them in the ways of Jesus. It just puffed them up. So Jesus called them a lot of bad names like snakes and vipers and whitewashed tombs. No, you and I were formed. We are wired to grow in the ways of Jesus, to be formed in the ways of Jesus. So the question comes, how in the world do we pull that off? And I believe Paul gives us a huge insight into how I can grow and be formed in the ways of Jesus. And so I'm going to invite you to just dig into the Word with me. And basically, we're going to look at two words today, holding fast. I'll set it up, but we're just going to spend our whole time looking at what those two words mean, holding fast. Listen to what Paul writes. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And you need a break anyway, and you need to stretch your legs. And I believe it honors God when we stand and we say, God, you're about to speak, and I'm standing at attention, and your servant listens. So would you just stand and let me read this, and you just follow along. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Now, I want you to don't just hear a sermon. Don't let this message go one ear out the other. And so I want you to think critically with me. Is he talking about somebody who's being formed in the ways of Jesus? And no, don't look at the back of my head. Look at the screen, okay? Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Does that look like somebody who's being formed in the ways of Jesus? That you may be blameless, innocent children of God, without blemish. Does that look like somebody who's being formed in the ways of Jesus? And I believe the answer, in all honesty, is yes. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, shining as lights in a crooked and twisted generation. Does that sound like somebody who is being formed in the ways of Jesus? And if your answer is yes, then you've got to just zero in on these next words, because Paul's saying, here's how that happens. Read this with me, starting with holding fast, will you? Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Amen. God bless you. And may God bless the reading of his word. Listen, the thing I want you to walk out of here with, wrap your arms around today, is you were made to grow in the ways of Jesus. And Paul says, hey, you're just designed for it. You're rewired for it. You're a new creation. Your DNA is such that your soul yearns to grow more like Jesus every day. And he says, here's the way to do that. You got to hold fast to the words of life. Now, what is the word of life? We're going to spend our time looking at holding fast, but we can't hold fast to something that we don't know what it is. What is the word of life? I am suggesting to you that the word of life that Paul is talking about is the word of God, scripture, the Bible. Where do I get that? Is that just an interpretation? No, I get that from some words that Jesus spoke. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. The words that I have spoken to you, the words I've spoken are the words of life. You want to know what the words of life is? The word of life is every word Jesus spoke and every word Jesus inspired. Jesus spoke and inspired all of Scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the beginning to the end. Every word that God spoke. And so Paul says, here you go. You want to grow in the ways of Jesus? You want to be formed fully in the ways of Jesus? He said, you're going to have to hold fast. How do we hold fast to the Word of God? First, I would suggest it involves repenting. I mean, look at the part of the text where he's saying, don't grumble, don't get into fights, and I want you to be innocent and blameless, and I want you to be without blemish. And here's what he's getting at, I really believe. When you read the Word of God, the Word of God reads you. Have you ever heard that before? And what happens is the Holy Spirit begins to convict you. You read the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And what happens is the Holy Spirit begins to use God's living word to impact your living soul, and he begins to convict you. And that's what the scripture says. I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, Jesus speaking. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. This is the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So you read the Word of God, and all of a sudden the Word of God begins to read you, and the Holy Spirit begins to convict you where you are grumbling and where you are fighting. Isn't it interesting? This is not an exhaustive list. When you read the Word of God, it's not just going to zero in on those two words only. But isn't it interesting? When Paul is talking about being formed in the ways of Jesus, that the two things that he identifies first is grumbling and fighting. Well, that should make us all just kind of stop dead in our tracks and go, wait a minute. Who am I fighting with? Who am I in conflict with? Because if there is one roadblock to being formed in the ways of Jesus, Paul says you need to start there. Look at that conflict. Is it with your parents? Is it with your kids? Is it with your friends? Is it with your spouse? He said one of the biggest roadblocks to being formed in the ways of Jesus is all of these fights and all of the grumbling, griping about things that never seem right and glass half empty, Gary Singleton. And so, you know, he says, watch that, Gary, and the rest of you who are that way. But it's not an exhaustive list. And then what happens when the Holy Spirit convicts us? Well, we repent. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As you confess, the Holy Spirit forgives and cleanses your soul, making you more like Jesus, who is blameless and without blemish. Does that make sense? I mean, we're just doing real talk here, saying, wait a minute, your soul thrives when you actually start acting more like Jesus and talking more like Jesus, not just when you go to church and sing a song. And if you want to really start acting more like Jesus and talking, you're going to have to hold on to the Word of God. And as you hold on to the Word of God, here's what happens. You read it and it reads you, and the Holy Spirit begins to convict you, and you've got to be man enough, woman enough, student enough to say, okay, God, you're convicting me of this. I confess it to you, and I'm asking you to forgive me. See, the first step to holding fast is repentance. Second step to holding fast is belief. I'm saying to you, when God says through Paul, hold fast to the word of life, the word hold fast means that we actually believe God's words. We believe what Jesus tells us. That's what it means to hold fast. When we're reading the Word of God, we say, Jesus, I actually believe what you're telling me here more than I believe my own gut. I believe what you're telling me here more than I believe my own intuition. I believe what you're telling me more than I believe what I think. God, I sometimes think what I read in here sounds a little bit crazy, but you know what, God? I choose right now to believe you more than I believe my own doubts. See, if you're going to hold fast to the Word of God, it means you are going to believe God, even over yourself. Abraham, God said to him, right? Hey, I want you to go to a land that I will show you. Can you imagine Abraham? If he had gone home that day and said, Sarah, the coolest thing happened today. I was just like praying and just kind of meditating on things that God told me in the past. And I'm telling you, it's like this audible voice, this clear voice, and just saying, Abraham, I want you to pack up everything. And don't worry, Sarah, I know we can't do it. I mean, come on, this is like 2000 BC. It's not like 3000 BC. People can't just pick up and move like that anymore. I'm not going to do it, Sarah, but I'm just saying, wouldn't it be kind of cool to just pack up? I know. We've got jobs. We've got a home here. We've got family. It's not like we got kids. And we're going to have to be around family when we get old. Somebody's got to take care of us. But I'm just saying, Sarah, wouldn't it be kind of cool to just do what God said for a change? I mean, just pack up everything, sell everything, and just let God take us to a land that he'll show us. I know we can't do what God actually says. I mean, this is the modern times. But you got to admit, sometimes it'd be cool to just see where God would take us. I know we can't. But Abraham didn't do that, did he? Abraham said, God has called us to go to a land he'll show us. And Sarah, I got so many doubts and concerns, but I choose to believe God over my doubts. And I'm asking you as my wife, would you go on this journey with me? It's because he chose to believe God over his own doubts that the Word of God says, and he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. That's why the writer of Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and not on your own understanding. Trust in God's Word more than your gut, more than your tuition, more than your thoughts, more than what that dude is saying on the talk show, more than what your friends are saying at school, more than what your friends are doing. Trust God, not your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. When you hold fast to the Word of life, you recognize the life you were created to live. Remember, you're a new creation. You're rewired. When you hold fast to the Word of life, it means you begin to recognize, wait a minute, the life I was created to live is revealed right here. And so I'm going to hold fast to every word that God says. And I'm going to trust his word over my doubts. See, until you believe God's word, you're always going to struggle with God's ways. You know that, right? Forgive those who sin against you. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to let them off the hook. That's ridiculous. Maybe some other people ought to forgive, but I am not going to forgive this. You do not know what they did to me. See, until you trust God's word more than your doubts, you'll always struggle with God's ways. Practice generosity towards God and others. Well, yeah, I mean, sure, I could do that once I get my finances straightened out and get the boat paid for, but I mean, that's crazy. I can't do that right now. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Oh, come on. What's an unwholesome word or two anyway? I mean, have you ever heard the people on TV? I don't sound as bad as them. Make disciples and stick around and teach them how to follow Jesus. Oh, for goodness sake, I can't do that. I'm trying to provide for a family, keep my family together, keep my marriage together. I don't have time for that kind of stuff, but wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool sometime to just pack up the wagon and actually follow God to that land that he'll show? Oh, I know we can't do that, Sarah, but got to admit, sometime it'd be cool to just go all in. And actually say, God, I believe your word more than I believe my own doubts. What does it mean to hold fast to the word of God? I'm saying it means you're reading the word. You're reading the word. You're consuming the word. And as you do, you repent because the word reads you and the Holy Spirit convicts you. And you say, God, I'm sorry. Here's where my life and my choices and my words and my language and my practices don't align with what you're saying. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And God, for the record, I believe your words more than I believe my doubts. And God, for the record, what I'm going to do is I'm going to third. What does it mean? You actually follow God. You actually begin to obey what God tells you to do in his word. And that's what it means to hold fast to the word of God. I'm going to obey. I begin to pray every day, not my will, but your will be done. And it's not just a prayer I recite. It's actually a prayer I pray and I mean, God, today, let me not do my will, but let your will be done in my life. Pierce led a staff devotional time the other day, and he prayed this prayer over us. Just is this beautiful prayer of surrender, submission that says, God, I will follow you wherever. Listen to this prayer. I'm no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. You know, you prayed that lately? I hadn't either. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. See, Abraham is the father of our faith because he didn't just run home and say, Sarah, 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 you wouldn't believe what God told me today. It's like an audible voice. Follow me to this land that I'll show you. I know we can't do it. But I mean, you got to admit, it'd be kind of a trip, right? No, he didn't do that. He said, Sarah, I got to go. I got to follow. He didn't say, Sarah, I really believe that was a word from God. I know we can't do it, but I really believe God spoke to me. No. He didn't stop with belief. He said, Sarah, I got to go. I've got to follow God's word to me. Will you please come and go with me as my wife? You can't say you're holding fast to the word of life if you're not reorienting your life daily around what God is telling you in his word. You were made to grow. Healthy things grow. A crop in the field, a newborn baby. And God, when he saved you, he rewired you so that you are made. You are, your soul thrives when you grow in the ways of Jesus, when you're fully formed in the ways of Jesus. Your soul thrives when you respond like Jesus, talk like Jesus, forgive like Jesus, disciple others like Jesus discipled the 12. Your soul thrives when you hold fast to the word of life. And as the Holy Spirit convicts, you repent. And as you read it, you go, God, I'm choosing to believe you, your words, more than the words of my friends at school. I'm choosing to believe. And when you tell me don't live together with someone before I get married, I'm not going to live together with someone. Don't have sex with someone before you get married. God, that sounds crazy. You do know this is 2022 and everybody's doing it. You know that, God. But you know what? I choose to believe your word over my doubts about what you're telling me. And God, here's the thing. I'm not just going to tell you I believe it. I'm going to do what Abraham did. I'm going to follow you. See, your soul thrives when you repent, you believe, and you follow. Even following doing the hard things that he tells you to do, like be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. God. Are you kidding me? Slow to speak, slow to anger. They deserve a piece of my mind. I'm going to give it to them right now. I hope you think that's slow, but I'm going right now. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. See, holding fast to the word of God says, God, I'm going to follow what you're telling me to do, not what I want to do in the moment. So invitation is this. What am I inviting you to do? Because ultimately, we're not just inviting you. I'm not certainly not inviting you to just sit and listen to me for, what, 10 or 15 minutes, the length of this sermon. It's a joke. Don't worry about it. But we still got some time. I'm not just asking you to sit there and listen silently. I'm asking you to do something in light of what we've studied together from God's Word. And here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to embrace holding fast to the Word of God this week. Okay, Gary, how do I do that now? Remind me. Okay, number one, put yourself in a position to hold fast to the Word of God daily. That means get a Bible app like I've got. I mean, I don't care what you do. Just read through the Bible every year. Read a chapter of the Bible every day. But just be in the Word of God. You can't hold fast to the Word if you are not reading the Word, right? You fall overboard and somebody says, grab the life preserver. And you look around and you're going, there ain't no life preserver. Well, guess what? You can't hold on to a life preserver that's not present, right? You can't hold fast to something that you're not holding on to. It's got to be present. So just put yourself in a position daily to take in the Word of God. Read it, meditate on it, pray through it. Second, put yourself weekly in a place to take in the Word of God. Be faithful in life group. Be faithful in the gathering, because guess what you're doing today? You are taking in the Word of God. Now, you have a choice of whether or not you're going to hold fast to it or not, but you are taking in the Word of God, so you have the opportunity to hold fast to the Word. And then in an ongoing way, put yourself in a position to hold fast by practicing the spiritual disciplines like fasting and silence and Sabbath. See, when you hold fast to the Word of God, here's what you're doing. You're entering into the presence of God so that you might hear the voice of God, so that then you can do the will of God. And when you do that, then you are transformed by the power of God's Spirit. You are more fully formed in the ways of Jesus. I'm discipling three different guys right now. And I always ask them two questions, and I've kind of started asking them a third question, because I want them to hold fast to the Word of life. Whenever we're discipling together, meeting together each week, I always ask my guys this question. So what have you heard God saying to you this week? Because I want them to understand that we're not checking a God box. We're not checking, okay, good, you've shown up for discipleship and disciple-making training this week. No. Our goal is not to check God boxes. Our goal is to enter into the presence of God and hear the voice of God so we might do the will of God and be transformed by the power of God's Spirit. I want them to know that you either are hearing from God or you are not being formed in the ways of Jesus. So I tell them, tell me something you've heard from God or make it up, because I don't want to feel like a failure here. You got to be hearing from God or we're wasting our time together. Second question I ask is this. So who needs to hear what God's been saying to you? Because I always want my guys looking outward, looking at the world around them. I want them to understand that this is not just about us becoming the best version of us that we possibly can be. I want them to understand that God is into them, but He's not exclusively into them. God loves every single person they encounter every single day as much as He loves them, because as it turns out, God loves the whole world. And so I say to them over and over and over, who needs to hear what God's been saying to you? Because God's saying something to you. He wants to say something through you, because He loves everybody around you as much as He loves you. But I've started asking a third question, and I'm just kind of developing this one, but it's really out of this sermon right here. And I'm starting to ask my guys, hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about what God's been telling you this week? Based on what God's told you this week, is there some sin that you need to repent of? Based on what God's told you this week, is there some place, some truth that God is speaking into your life that you need to choose? I'm going to believe that over my own doubts. because I know that I'll never embrace the ways of Jesus until I first trust the words of Jesus. And then I ask them, hey, what do you need to repent of? What do you need to believe? How do you need to follow Jesus this week? How do you need to reorient your life around what Jesus said to you? Why do I do that? Here's why I do that. Because I've seen and you've seen people who check God boxes, church check, Bible reading check, giving some check, and yet they don't grow in the ways of Jesus. Go to church 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Students, please listen to this because this could be you someday. Go to church the next 30 years, but the truth is 30 years from now, you're not a bit kinder than you were at this stage of your life. You're not more patient. You're not more trustworthy. You don't walk in righteousness anymore. See, you can check God boxes and never grow in the ways of Jesus. And I don't want that for you. I have the privilege of being your pastor, and my desire for you is that you would be formed in the ways of Jesus, that you would grow in the ways of Jesus, because I know that's when your soul thrives. That's when your soul goes, I was made for this. I was made to repent of that sin. I was made to trust God's word more than my doubts. I was made to follow Jesus to this land that he would show me, and who knew that it would actually work out? But it did. And the land that God showed me was actually better than the land I was living in. See, I know your soul thrives when you say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm going to hold fast to the word of life this week. I'm about to pray and dismiss us. And before I do, let me just say to you, if you've never given your life to Jesus and today you're going, hey, this Jesus sounds kind of interesting. I mean, if he would just, you know, give me a soul that could thrive and show me how my soul could thrive, I'd kind of like to know this Jesus. Listen, if you'll come back to the Next Step room, I'll tell you about Jesus, or somebody will talk to you about Jesus. And what they'll tell you is that there really is a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. There's a kingdom of this world, and this kingdom of this world is going to fall. It is going to crash. It is going to burn. But the kingdom of God is going to exist forever and ever and ever. And Jesus is the king of the kingdom. You're not, and I'm not. And what Jesus did is he died on a cross in our place. He rose again from the grave, conquering sin, death, Satan, and hell. And what he invites us to do is to repent of our sin of rejecting him as our king, and believe in him and what he has done as the full, final payment for our sin. And then commit ourselves to follow him, confess him as our Lord, our Savior, our God. And if you'll come to the Next Step room, I'll repeat all of that right back to you one more time. And I'll invite you to just turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry, and I want what he said. I want you to be my Savior. I repent. I believe. I'll follow you. Give us that opportunity to talk to you about Jesus. Talk to you about the prayer need that you have. Talk to you about church membership and the next steps of that. And then the final thing I'd say is you have an opportunity to give. And by the way, we don't tell you you have an opportunity to give because that's our way of saying, hey, we got to pay the light bills. We do have to pay the light bills, just so you know. But no, we tell you over and over because we know the way God wired your soul flourishes when you give. Your soul flourishes when you give. That's why Jesus says it's more blessed to give than receive. He's not saying, hey, here's this kind of little tactic I got to get you to give your tithe. I'll bless you more if you give than if you don't. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, no, you got to understand who you are. You got to live out of who you are. The way I wired you, your soul just is thrilled when you give. And that's why when you give to God, others, there's something in you that goes, man, that felt good. But then when you receive, you're going, oh, yeah, no, thank you, thank you. Not really my style. It's not the right size. I can take it back, right? Yeah, get the receipt. See, your soul thrives when you give. Your soul just kind of flops around on the bank when you receive. But God says, Who knew? That's the way I wired you. So we invite you to give. Give to God and give to others. Let's pray together and be dismissed. Lord Jesus, we absolutely love you. But we know we love you because you loved us first. And our love for you is a response to your love for us. So may we leave this place loving you with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. But Lord Jesus, may we love others. Not just you, may we love others the same way that you've loved us. And Lord, my prayer is that this week we will hold fast to your word so that our soul might thrive as we are formed, Jesus, to be more like you. My prayer is that by the time we get together next Sunday, that some of us will actually be kinder. Some of us will be more compassionate towards those who are lost. Some of us will become more generous. Some of us will be more truthful and honest. Some of us will live more uprightly. Some of us will repent of sin. Lord, I pray that this week we are formed more fully in your ways. I pray this week we will grow. And as we do, Lord, let our soul thrive. I pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.